Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Bonna Pfeiffer.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast for people who violently stab ground cloth with sharp objects and thread.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, thank you. We've been going with the people who make fine art with needle and thread, you know, kind of a highbrow thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, that's a nice touch. But today I'm just feeling like stabbing with sharp objects, so we're reverting.
Well, I'm kind of your hillbilly cousin anyway.
So. All right, we're going to have fun with this then. So, and yes, Vanna, not Christine. Christine's health occupies her today, and we were set up to talk with Vanna and record a Sunday show for a couple weeks from now. And I said, hey, Vanna, want to do a Wednesday show too? And she said, sure. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love talking to you, Gary. Well,
same back to you. Back to you. Yep. So, Wednesday show. Okay, yeah. So I've been working on the Sarah Parr 18, whatever, 29, I think it is, reproduction sampler. And I reached a spot where it was just a natural break. Everything finished all the way across, and it was on to a new section. So I put it away and broke out the needlepoint and waiting for my silk and my linen for Sarah Brazier. So I'm going to be needlepointing. This has been an experience. Just last night, I finished up one and switched to the other. And stitching on 40 count with 1/2 with silk, little X's, takes, you know how long it takes.
Yeah.
and then I break out the needlepoint with some Krynek, and I'm just making these massive stitches that are just covering acres of ground. It's like, wow, this is fun.
You feel like a giant. I know that when I do it, I think like, it's just amazing the difference, isn't it? And I've often marveled myself when I switch between projects like that.
it was really, I actually had to sit back and wait a minute. I just covered this much ground in this many minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And now I've got two giant, actually four giant double fan doubles that, you know, it'll cover a mm-hmm. space by like 3x3, each one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and then when I'm done with those, then it's just background around the edges and I'm done. And that's it.
Right.
And, yeah.
Tearing it up.
So that was a bizarre experience. Yeah. And then back to little X's on 40 count. Yep. So that was weird. So, yeah, so that's my deal now. Back to the needle point. Big needles, you know, that was the other thing, going from a size 26 or 8 needle to a 22, I think it was, or a 20. It's like, what's this club that's in my hand?
That's right.
Yeah.
Or like a nail. That's, yeah. I always think it's like a nail.
Yeah. This big 6-penny nail I'm stitching with.
That's right.
Yeah. So that was pretty weird last night. Yep. So you're busy finishing stuff, but you what projects you got something going yourself?
I do. I finished on Mother's Day a Little House Needleworks. It was actually the very first Little House Needleworks pattern that I had ever bought, and I had stitched it for a friend of mine that got married and gifted it to her like in 2005, 2006, but I've always loved that pattern, and I always put it, oh, someday I'm going to stitch this for myself. Well, I pulled it out about 3 weeks ago and decided I'm going to stitch this for myself. And I finished it on Mother's Day and turned out really great. I stitched it on 40 count cream linen, just plain cream. It just really turned out nice. And then last night I started With Thy Needle and Thread, Summer in Baltimore, which is, it will go in my patriotic room in my corner cabinet, and it's like a stitching tray. You stitch it, and then how she has you finish it is on a paper mache box, and it's an open tray. It's a really cool finish that Brenda Gervais did, and so I started that last night. So, yay me!
That patriotic room's got to be getting full here pretty quick.
I think any stitcher and you yourself will say, well, I don't know, you get a lot of stuff done, it seems like. But I kind of stalled on my early Americans. I only have three more to do, and I don't know what my problem is. How come I'm not pulling it out? But once I have that one finished, that's a very large piece. So my walls will pretty much be full in the patriotic room after I get that piece finished and framed. And, you know, it is, it's pretty full. I think I'm about done. That's why I'm thinking about new walls. What walls? I want to do a bee wall with nothing but like bee samplers on a wall. And Little House has a really nice bunch of different inns and taverns, and which the Blackbird Inn was one of those. And I think I want to do those all on small count linen so that, you know, when they're framed, they don't take up as much room. And I think I want to have a inns and taverns in my kitchen. So I was thinking about that while I was stitching Blackbird Inn.
Now, does your husband know that you're putting an addition on the house? Have you discussed that part with him?
He always, you know, he's very supportive about that. He's very particular about holes in our drywall. So I have to, like, you know, he'll always go, well, let's think about it before we hammer anything, you know. And so I'll have to, like, lay it against the wall, and we have to look at it and think about it. But he's been pretty good about it. And we have a pretty, you know, good size home, I guess, with, you know, six of us living here. And I really have pretty many walls yet to fill. So I think I'm good for a while here, I hope.
Well, I have to say in your Floss2 videos, if someone knows what you do for a living around mm-hmm. the clock, you would mm-hmm. expect to see walls just covered, and you've obviously restrained yourself or been restrained, mm-hmm. one or the other, yeah. because your walls are not packed with stuff. It's it's tastefully done. So,
well, you know, thanks.
Credit for that.
Well, I have a lot on my walls, but like that grouping, like in my Floss2 videos, if you look behind my shoulder, there's like 9, I think, or 12 that's behind me on that one wall. And that's the most I have on one wall in all over my house. But I have a lot of samplers, like reproduction samplers, out on our fireplace. And I have stitching all over my house. But I thank you. I thank you for saying that it's tastefully done, because I don't want it to look garish or like overdone. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I do. And I swap out. I do a lot of seasonal stuff. So, you know, I put my seasonal stuff away for bring it out only once a year. So,
well, and that's just it. As someone who cranks out the number of things that you do and are mm-hmm. able to get them finished, you know, that they aren't sitting in a drawer somewhere. It would be really easy to overdo the home decorating in a hurry. And
you can.
There is some point. Yeah. There's some point where it's just overload. Yeah.
Right. When is enough enough, you know? And so you got to like think, I try to think about what I'm going to, when I stitch, I try to always think about what I'm going to do with it or how I'm going to finish it. And so that's kind of how I choose my projects a lot, I think. I don't know. What am I saying, Gary? I'm nuts. I just go for it.
Yeah. But you go for it. But yeah, there is that. It's just real easy to do because you finish something and get it framed or, in your case, make a stand up or something, and then you want to show it off. And then you put that out and then that out. And then over time, you just adjust to it. And then, you know, one day you walk into the house after being gone for a week and go, holy smokes, what happened in here?
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could get out of hand. That's why I try to, like, keep with themes. You know what I mean? I think that kind of helps.
Yeah.
If you have like, I want a theme in this room and a theme in that room. And I think that kind of helps a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe, maybe not. See, for me, it's never going to be a problem because I have no vote in decorating. So,
my husband really doesn't either, I don't think.
Yeah.
Kind of he does, but
yeah, I don't.
Well, holes in the wall.
Yeah, I've heard of people who are always concerned about that, putting holes in the drywall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really is. Well, and he's an engineer too, so.
Oh, there it is. That's right. There it is right there.
Yeah.
It's genetic. He can't help it.
No, he can't.
Yeah, we give him a pass. He just simply can't help it. Yep. Hey, I was going to ask you, we'll talk about the Sarah Brazier stitch along coming up, but one of the things that we're running into is not having, we simply can't get linen and we can't get silk thread. It just, the demand has been so high and so quick that we haven't been able to get it. And I was wondering, as much stitching as you do, are there ground cloth and or thread that you buy in quantity? Like, you know, is there a linen where you might go and buy 2 or 3 yards just to have it so that it's always there when you want it? Do you take that approach?
I do, yes. I do take that approach. what I do is, if I like for instance, I'm getting ready to stitch. I'm presently stitching Mermaid Folly. Have you ever seen that? It's a Courtney collection, and it looks like it's all monochromatic, and it looks almost like a carving, like a wood carving when you get done.
Ooh, and say that again. I got to write that one down.
It's called Mermaid Folly, and it's by the Courtney collection, and it's huge, Gary. It's like the piece of linen is like a half a yard. Not kidding.
Oh.
And, what I do frequently is, people don't realize, I think, that you can buy yards of linen and stuff. But if you go to your local needlework shop and you say, you know what you want, you can say, I want to buy a yard of lamb's wool or whatever. And so, yes, I do frequently buy yards of linen. And in the long run, it's cheaper because you're going to get a lot of projects out of 1 yard of linen. And I just got done buying a couple yards on Picture This Plus. If there's a color that I really like, and, you know, with me stitching the way I stitch, I like neutral type. I won't buy like a yard of purple or a yard of blue, but like Legacy or Heritage or, you know, those Picture This Plus colors, I'll just buy a yard. When I buy, place an order, I'll just, you know, if I'm doing it for one project, I'll just go ahead and buy a yard. And so then I always have it on hand. And that's how I've built up my stash through the years, is that I'll buy large quantities and then cut down and put it, you know, then I have some for later when I get the itch to stitch something else. So I very rarely use the exact called fabric for a project. Very rarely do that.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I'm Vanna, and I'm not following your instructions. Deal with it.
I never thought about that, but it's true. I don't. And it's not because I don't think the designers are, you know, they obviously know what they're doing, but I might not want it on 28 count or, you know, something like that. So I have a large variety of all counts because I'm a hoarder. But I typically just, I don't know. That's kind of, yeah, I never thought of it that way, Gary, but that is kind of like, I'm Vaughn and I'm not going to follow your instruction. I never thought of it that way, but it is kind of like that, I guess. But I just like to choose my own, you know, my own stuff, because there's, you know, fabrics that I like better and counts that I like better. And it's my house, and right. I have a color theme. So I would urge anybody that if you're going to, if you have a favorite color, you know, like I know you're waiting on Lakeside Linens, and they have beautiful colors. And that's one of the companies that I have done that with. Like, I really like Vintage Exemplar Linen, and I've bought at one time, you know, a yard, and then I have it for a long time, and it works. That works well for me. So,
yeah, well, that's the one I'm going to do the Sarah Brazier on is their Platinum. And oh man,
That's a beautiful.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful color.
Now you got me thinking, I might as well just go buy a yard of that and have it. It's Vanna's fault. Because I did that one day. I went into the shop and just bought a length of 18 count needlepoint canvas and an eight length of Congress cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, many times it's been real nice to just pull that out and snip off a square or a rectangle or whatever, because I wanted to try something.
Mm-hmm.
And or, you know, hey, here's a little project I saw in a magazine. I have the cloth, and I certainly have threads that will work. And to just be able to just do something without having to plan a trip to the store and make a mm-hmm. list and all those things. And yeah, it is really nice to just pull out the roll and chop some off and go after it.
And, well, and if you think about, you know, getting in your car and driving, and in the long run, Gary, it's saving money. That's what I always tell my husband. I know we're not using gas and we're not putting mileage on the car. I'm just going to go once and get it, and then I've got it.
Sell that's it, just, Bonna. Sell it. You're doing it.
That's economical. That's cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, that's
music to an engineer's ears, right there.
That's right.
Yeah. Efficient, economical. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for a man that sits and rubs two pennies together waiting for a nickel to pop out, that's awesome.
You're his new hero right there.
Oh, shoot.
Well played.
I've been with him for a long time, so I have him. I know all the secrets of how to get it under the radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows you know him, too, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. There's nobody kidding anybody here. No,
no, no, there is not.
Guaranteed that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, so that's interesting now, because you got me thinking I'll just buy, because that platinum linen, that's pretty.
I just don't think on any of the lakeside linens you can go wrong. Honestly, I can't. Like their butter pecan. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's almost like makes me want to eat it, kind of like an ice cream cone, butter pecan ice cream cone.
And it's always really high quality, too.
Yes. And they feel the you know, being a stitchers, we're very tactile. We like how to feel things. And that linen is just a very nice feel to it. That's one of my favorite linens is Lakeside linen. So,
yeah.
Buy a yard, Gary. Buy two.
Go nuts. Nobody will notice. Okay. Marga, Vanna said that it's more economical, it's more efficient, and then I'll get that look. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I wanted to this is May, so it's Stitch Mania. The whole, mm-hmm. That whole cross-stitch, man, start a new start every day for 15 or 18 days. Holy smokes. I can't even imagine that, and then all the variations on that theme. But it got me thinking, I mean, there's no way I'm doing that, mm-hmm. but I admire people. I want to follow up with some of those guys, some of those ladies, mainly 6 months from now, and see how many of them are still in the rotation or even finished.
Right.
But they have, what fun to watch them all line them all up and buy all their, get them all kitted and everything.
You know what cracks me up about this whole Stitch Mania thing, which, every day is Stitch Mania for me. A lot of times I feel like, but, I love watching, we all have our favorites of who we watch on FlossTube and stuff, but I love I watch a huge amount of FlossTube, and I love just the, have you ever just sat and thought about how much time people put in just to the plans of what they're going to stitch, choosing their projects and then all of that. It just it's really kind of mind blowing when you sit and think about it. And then another thing that always and I just mean this in good jest, funny, is that you'll see one video where they planned, 31 starts or 18 starts or however many, and they've got them all down. And this is my list, and this is what I'm going to do. And then when they do their updates, they go, "Well, I didn't do this one, I didn't do that one, yep. but I substituted this one and this one and this one." And I just always, that's why I tried not to say anything about plans, because I'm the very same way. I just have evolving ideas. I don't have plans because they always change. So, I mean, yes, I enjoy watching it. And you know, I don't participate in it, but it's fun to watch. So, yeah.
Well, and see that, you know, it amazes me, and I have no interest in doing it because I've got enough started already. I don't need to start 15 more in 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
But it, when you watch it, if you step back, it's look how much fun people are getting out of the hobby. All these people, how much fun they're getting out of the hobby. And like you said, before they even put a stitch in a piece of cloth, all the, you know, the planning, selecting of colors and, you know, making a list and from a hobby, just a pure hobby perspective, they're really just having a good time with their hobby. And if none of those get finished, who cares? You know?
Yeah. Who does care? Really? That is the way I think about it too. And if you saw all the baskets I have of whips, you would think, yeah, who does care? I mean, but I really am. That is honestly think about. I mean, just from a needlework industry perspective, how much money is generated in really? April and May and June from this stitch mania? Yep. I mean, honestly. And, you know, just because not only of the people kidding projects and stuff, but other viewers seeing things that just turn their crank and then they have to go search and find it and buy it too.
Yep.
So it's a huge, I mean, it's a huge boon in my mind to the industry. So kudos to the Stitch Mania people. I think that's awesome. Go for it. Yep. I like watching it. And I like sitting and laughing and thinking, look at them change their
mind. Yeah.
It just makes me laugh in a good hearted way. It just, I just think it's fun to watch. So.
Oh yeah. And then I read a couple today. Oh, I didn't do my first four and oh well. But so what, you know, it really is. And you know, as much as the internet gets slammed for hurting stores in terms of retail business, you know, this is a classic example of where the internet and the community it creates is just doing a tremendous amount of good. Yeah, because like you said, look how much money is getting churned just for this 1 month of starts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all the stores, I mean, I'm sure that there's some stores that, with a lot of people in the area that have probably felt a little inventory hit, you know, that I can't keep up. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And well, and just think about, you know, even with your stitch along, how it's kind of ground everything the linen and silks, you know, and I mean, think about that. And then think about what Stitch Mania has to be doing. And I just do not believe that anybody can not say that the internet or our blogs, I know blogs aren't as big a part of it as they used to be, but when they were in their heyday, I know that they were generating money for the industry, and FlossTube I know it has just been a huge boon to the industry. And I don't think that designers can deny that, nor can the companies or the distributors and linens and thread companies can deny that FlossTube is a huge boon to the industry because, I mean, it's the end thing. FlossTube is the end thing in my mind right now. It is anyways.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, if you step back and take a look at it, in many ways, FlossTube is one gigantic trade show.
Oh yeah.
I mean, right at down to the raw brass tacks, it's just a big trade show. This is what I'm doing. This is how it looks. What more could you ask for as a designer or a store than somebody showing off products you have on your shelves? And you know, and getting people excited about doing it themselves. I mean, there's no better trade show than that.
No, and it's free advertising, you know, for people. I mean, like Rolla Frames. I mentioned Rolla Frames a couple of years ago, and that Dan King is the owner of that company. And, you know, he just sent out a thing on Facebook tonight that said, you know, I'm working overtime. I'm working as fast as I can to get, you know, orders out to all the people, and please don't blame your shops. It's me. I'm doing, you know, I'm going as fast as I can. Well, just 2 years ago, he didn't have business like that. And not that I'm saying that I single-handedly saved his business. I don't mean it that way, but it was just by word of mouth that has Rolla Frames has gotten to, you know, to what he is right now. And he is a super sweet man. He's supporting his family.
buy this business, an American-made product. It's a good product. And, you know, I'm glad that he's getting as much support as he's getting for it, and that, he's as busy as he is, because busy is good, and busy is profits, and busy is taking care of his family, and I'm happy for Dan King. So, yeah, I mean, that's all because of FlossTube. I didn't know about Roller Frames before FlossTube, so, and it was just a fluke. And so...
Yeah, and he is a great guy. Yeah, got to spend some time with him at Nashville.
Yeah,
great guy. But there he was. It was him and his family, and this is us, and this is what we make, and it's good
and
quality.
And his kids were stitching on it, and
right.
I mean, he's just a. I mean, that's just. I mean, that I just want to support that guy. I just want to support family down home. Good product businesses, and that's what he is. And so go out and buy Roller Frame.
And that ends the commercial.
That's right. And I wasn't even planning on saying that, but that was just an example of FlossTube has just been a huge, has to have been, because think about it this way too. I would have never stitched on some of the colors that people show on FlossTube had I not seen how things look on those colored ground cloth that they chose. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, that's just, an eye opener to me. And I know to many other people, like Mirabilia's, I wouldn't have given a Mirabilia a second look. Honest to heaven. And, you see them, that is totally not me. That's not my style. But I have 15 patterns that I purchased.
Do you really? Really?
Yes. And
because you're the last person on earth I would think of would stitch one of those.
Yeah, I got the Mermaids of the Deep Blue going because I've watched it, and every time I see it, I think, oh, I just think that's so pretty. And I would not have ever looked at it as, like I said, I didn't. I've been in the game for a long time. I knew about them, but it never, turned me on. And I watched FlossTube and a lot of the early FlossTubers, because I was watching long before I ever did one. And I guess this is my third year of being on FlossTube. But anyways, that's what a lot of them did, Mirabilia's. And I just watched them for 2 years thinking, wow, those are really great. Why have I not found those?
I have no interest in doing one. I mean, obviously the subject matter is of no interest to me.
Right.
But when you see those finished with all the beads and those, especially the women with the big flowing robes and gowns.
Yeah.
Man, that's just stunning stuff. It really is.
Yeah. It is. And then on the color, she does her models on such neutral like colors, but then these people do them on these wild Gary pieces of fabric that you think, I wouldn't blow my nose on that. And then you do that, and it's just like, holy smokes, that is like utterly gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has to have been a huge boon for the industry and for, just smaller companies doing hand dyed things. And it has to be, because, I can't tell you, when I watch FlossTube, and I try not to, I try not to do this, but I don't know. I'm like manic or something, because I'll watch people and I think, oh, I need to do that. And then I'll see somebody doing something. And I think I have that pattern, and I'll stop what I'm doing and go dig through my pattern just to see it. And then I think, oh yeah, I got it. I can do it. And so it's just, I don't know. It's really, to me, it's very motivating, I guess, to, I'm pretty motivated anyways about stitching because it's my thing, but it even motivates me more to want to stitch faster and better and be a better stitcher and, break out of my boundaries. And I don't know. I think it's a great thing.
Oh yeah. So. There's no doubt. And now that they're doing these retreats all over the country, it's just adding one more dimension to it. Because, I think back when I first got involved in this, and there was a cross-stitch store about every other block, and it was like Dunkin' Donuts. And, they were just everywhere. And then that went away. And, you kind of wondered, does anybody do cross-stitch anymore? But then you look at this floss tube operation and all the people all around the world. And yeah, they do. And here's, you know, here's the next iteration of that, and bigger and better and more immediate in terms of feedback and ideas. And you know, it's just been a real catalyst. People talk about is the hobby dying? Maybe some aspects are, but I don't think cross stitch is by any stretch. Primarily, no.
I think that you have your niche groups. So you have your sampler stitchers, and you have sampler stitchers watching people that are doing, you know, like Clouds Factory patterns and, you know, different. And I watch a variety. I mean, I feel like I'm probably more of a traditionalist. I'm not a purist, but I'm more of a traditional, I guess, type stitcher. But I still enjoy like watching the Clouds Factory, you know, all those sows that they have, you know, that they do with each other, you know, some of them, the younger people. And I enjoy that. I enjoy seeing all the different styles and all the, and it just is, and I really do think that it's a, even though there's different niche groups, that all comes together almost like a cohesive family. Yeah, I really do feel that way. And that makes me happy. It's made the world a smaller place because, you know, I didn't know anybody that stitched besides myself for years. And so I think that's good. I think it's good overall. It brings the world. I've got some really, really, really good friends of mine I've never met in person and likely will never meet in person. But it's because through the, you know, through Skype or Facebook, you know, Messenger, I can see them and talk to them and form a friendship with them through stitching. And how awesome is that? You know, I just think that's nice. It's just great.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. And different parts of the country, different cultures. And then when you start to look at it overseas, you know, when I see some of the people from Russia and, you know, well, Europe in general, but some of the work that gets done over there in Russia and Poland,
yeah,
is just amazing. What the, you just sit there. I can't read a word of what they're saying. But right. just show me pictures because it's just amazing to me.
And, yes.
And all of that because of FlossTube and because of Facebook and the internet. And that's, yeah, it's interesting that how blogs have really fallen off, because I have a long, long list of blogs that I follow through a newsreader. And it's getting more and more where, oh, I haven't heard from this person in a long time. And then she'll post and say, sorry, it's been 2 months. And I think, yeah, here's another one that's starting to, starting to lose. Because blogs take time. You know, they take their work. And you got to be pretty diligent and persistent to keep them up. And there's very few who do, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I kind of have been hit or miss with my blog for, you know, the last few years. But I hear the last year I've been trying to at least update once a month. And I think I pretty much hit every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks on mine. And I do that not necessarily just because I want to share it, but it's just that a lot of my core audience has been a long time, you know, 12, 14 year follower of mine. And right. I don't want to let them down, you know, and I know that sounds pompous and I don't mean it like that, but I mean, they truly genuinely care about me and what's going on in my life, and I want them to know, hey, I'm still here, and if you don't watch me, because a lot of them have said they will not watch FlossTube, they don't want to, and which is, that's fine, and if that's the medium they like, well, I'll share on there too. So I've had a lot, you know, like I said a lot of my core audience I feel like followed me from my blog days, and yeah they're kind of dying, and that's kind of sad. But you know, think of the bulletin boards. Before blogs, it was the bulletin boards.
Right, right.
And who does a bulletin board anymore?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was when Christine and I first started doing podcasts. And you know, we were doing one, and I started putting them up on Sunday. And it was really just because Sunday was a day that I had a chance to clean up the file and get it posted and so on and so forth. But we really didn't have any plan. You know, it was just, let's try and do this and see if there's anything to it. And you talk about people who come to count on you. It was a couple months in, and I heard from a doctor in New York. He wrote and he said, "I really appreciate these. You guys are my Monday morning commute."
Oh.
And you know, and it hits you. Whoa, there's people out there
listening.
Yeah, and they're listening, and you're on their list of things that in this guy, this started his week off. And so then immediately I knew, all right, now I have to make sure, if nothing else but for this one doctor, I have to make sure that the podcast goes up on Sunday. And yeah. You know, I can't let the guy down.
Yeah.
And that's how it's been. And when we switched over to Fiber Talk, that's why the Sunday is when the hour, you know, the shows with the guests go up is just that very thing. I still remember that doctor many years ago. And, you know, can't let him down. It's gotta be there. And I've heard from more than one person who, use these podcasts as something that listen to when they're commuting or driving. And, you know, we need to be there. And, you know,
I know I enjoy it because I listen. I always wait for my email because I'm on the email list that says when you post whatever.
Okay.
And, I always like today I knew, I'm going to see what it is tonight. You know what I mean? And so then when I got, I listen to it when I finish, you know, because it's just, you know, I don't have to watch anything,
right.
You know, it's just me finishing and I'm listening. And, I totally enjoy it. You're doing a huge service for the Needlework Nation. You honestly are. And I hope that your hillbilly cousin today doesn't bring down your ratings. Because I'm not as polished and sophisticated as many of your guests are.
I think we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine.
All right, that makes me.
Some people
better.
Will just look at it as a break from the norm. Yeah.
Oh shoot.
Yeah. No, I think we'll be quite fine. Yes. Yep. So okay, before we run out of time here, we do need to talk about the. Sarah Brazier, stitch along that we're doing with Sassy Jacks. And I cannot believe this. We are at like 615 people in less than a month.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I just cannot believe that, but it's just been fantastic. And I don't think it's a big stretch to say that we've almost single-handedly created a global shortage of linen and silk.
I think you can say it. I think it's truth, Gary.
I fear that it is. Yeah, people cannot get silk thread, and they cannot get linen, and there's a lot of people waiting. I'm one of them. Can't get it, but it's so much fun just watching these early stages here, as people try to get there because the stitch along doesn't even start till the 6th of June. And and already there's just been an awful lot of activity, and we've got several things planned. One of them is Jacqueline, who stitched the model, is going to join us. And I got to handle the model when I was at the attic. Oh, it's a big, beautiful beast. Wow, is that nice?
It's a beautiful sampler.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And Jacqueline, you know, of course, every stitch, absolute perfection. So it was. When I'm doing the video with Jean Lee, at which wetalkfiber.com/SarahB, S-A-R-A-H-B, you can see that video. When I'm doing the video and you're moving the camera over and we're looking at the different motifs, you know, I caught myself more than once going, wow, look how beautifully this is stitched. I mean, it's just perfection all over the place. And, oh, man, just... If I could even get half as good as that, it would be worth everything.
Oh, Gary, I've seen your stitching. Stitching is beautiful.
Well,
honestly,
thanks,
I'm not just saying that. And I've seen a lot of stitching, and your stitches that was the first thing I noticed on your stockings. And that is a hard ground cloth to stitch on with that. And your stitches were beautiful. And I'm not just saying that.
Thanks for that. I always think there's another level better. So.
No, I think you're pretty much... I think you could. I bet you you're Sarah. How do you say your last name? I always want to say Brazier.
Well, it's Brazier, and you say that the first time that we talked with Nicola, That's what I said was brassiere. And she got a little embarrassed. She says, oh, no, that sounds like, oh, it does, doesn't it? Because, it never occurred to me. I mean, I was just going by the word there. She says, no, it's brassiere. Okay.
Brassiere. Okay. Got to be careful. Well, it's beautiful, and I'm certain that yours is going to be gorgeous. How long do you think? I listened to the Nicola and you talk about, high counts and big projects and all that stuff. And see, this scares me, that kind of sampler. It does, because that's a big commitment. That's a huge sampler.
Yeah. Well, I see, I just take my lead. I asked Nicola about this a while ago, and because I had the one that I'm working on right now, I just ground my way all the way across the cloth doing an alphabet. And I got to the, I got to the end. It's like, oh man, that was torture. I'm glad that's done. And I thought, wait a minute, if this is what this feels like, I'm not finishing this thing. But then when I mentioned it to Nicola, it was basically what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. You've got all these elements to stitch, all these different colors in different places. Just do what strikes you at the moment and make your way through the thing and enjoy, tonight I'm going to stitch this bee and that's going to be it. And completely changed my attitude and my approach. So I quit thinking, all right, I got to stitch this alphabet till it's done. And I would do five letters and then two elements below it. And and so that's the way I've approached this. And it's just, now it's much more enjoyable. So,
you know, that's a good, I have a friend that calls it small goals. I have small goals.
There,
but see, I would approach it like you approached it. Like, I'm going to get this out of that done, hell or high water. What I mean?
Yep.
And and she always seems like she just effortlessly gets large projects done while I'm like, dipping around back at the start line, she's finished. So that's a good, way to, and she always says, Bonnie, you have to do small, attainable. She calls it small, attainable goals. So that's, what Nicola was saying. And so that's, I don't know. I need to take a pill to calm me down or something, because my brain doesn't work like that a lot of times, but that is a good approach, I think. And I need to think about that too more, because like I said, I'd love to do a sampler like that, but I'll be honest, it scares me.
Well, but see, this one is perfect. This one is perfect because, and I use this in a positive way. The thing is littered with little items. Just littered. So I've got a half hour. Okay, I can sit down and knock off this little insect right here.
Right.
And you made some progress and you had a little enjoyment and you move on and, go vacuum or do the gardening or whatever. But no, I think this is a perfect one for that, because there's so many things scattered all over that thing. All over, I have 40 count, 30 by 30 inches. Just so many motifs of different sizes and colors. That you can have those little goals. I got it. And come back, later on and knock off another one. And I'm really looking forward to doing this one as big as it is, just because of that. There's just so many little things that you can do. And then the border with those double satin stitch bands all the way around. That's just stunning. That's just stunning.
Isn't it gorgeous? And I will be anxious. Well, I did watch your video is up because I watched, I think that's the one I watched with her, right? You showed the one with Jean Lee.
Right.
Holding
that. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, I get these names mixed up. Well, that is beautiful. And then when you do it yourself, it's even, you've seen it in person, we haven't, but when you do it yourself, that's what I always, it's just like, gosh, it's so pretty,
Yeah. Yeah. And I was, there's several people, because silks just aren't available. I think some people, one, to save money, because a lot of skeins of silk floss, but also a lot of people have just gone to DMC because there's a Nicola provides that. I have to say, I've looked at those DMC, people have already started with DMC floss. Wow, those colors are rich. They're really rich. They're beautiful. And I've been tempted. I really have. Because people, DMC, that's just the everyday working person's floss, and I think we take it for granted. And then when you see it stitched in a sampler like that, the colors are just so rich and they go together so well. And it's like, what's wrong with DMC floss? You know, it's just perfect. And right. Boy, there's a couple ladies that have gotten through several pages already. And boy, I'll tell you, I'd be mighty proud of what, if that were mine, because it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's just beautiful. And, yeah.
What, so. Is that on Facebook? Is it a sale on Facebook?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
How are you doing that? Is the group is on Facebook?
Yeah. It's a, you just have to ask to join.
Join.
But go to, well, you can search for it, but, there's a link on several, on WeTalkFiber.com. It's mm-hmm. there more than once, but it's on our Fiber Talk. It's off of our Fiber Talk Facebook page.
Okay.
So easy to find. Yeah.
Yeah. But, Cause I'm on that. So I'll have to look at, I kind of might, oh gosh. Now see, here yes. you got me thinking about
yes.
buying the
Yes.
Pattern.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it, Vonna. Do it. Do it.
Oh yeah. Sure. No problem.
Do it.
I saw that we were going to talk about it, you know, tonight, and I've been listening to your talking about it, but I've never clicked the link because I thought if I start clicking links and start looking at pictures, then it's all over. And then I've been sitting and listening to you tonight talk about it, and I think, maybe I need to go look at that.
Do it, Vonna. Do it.
Oh, shoot, uh-huh. Gary.
Hooked another one. Yes. And you probably have enough linen right there in your house, so
I probably have. Yeah, I know I do.
Yeah. So what's your holdup? So, let's go.
Yeah. What is the holdup? I don't know.
Yep. Okay. We've got another one. Yay. Yep. All right. We got to wrap this up. So two things. Remember the giveaways. Now you have until the 18th Eastern time, midnight, the 18th to get your number in to me, how many colors are in the Sarah Brazier sampler. And it's one more than 22, one less than 24. Just got to put in the subject line, Sarah Brazier, and the number in the message space. That's all you got to do. And send it to me, Gary at WeTalkFiber.com. And then you get entered into a drawing where five people each have be able to choose a hats sampler chart. So that's pretty nice. And then we have the other thing that Nicola has set up where there's some requirements, but basically you got to finish, you got to post pictures as you go and finish the Sarah Brazier sampler by May 1, 2019. And then you'll be in a drawing to win the actual original Mary Clayton sampler, which that's pretty amazing. The real deal.
Yeah.
A drawing to win that. And then Nicholas charting that. So everyone who meets all the requirements, even if you don't win the drawing, everyone will get a free chart of the Mary Clayton sampler. So,
wow.
You know, so yeah, come on. A year to stitch this thing, you know, get on it, and at least you'll get a free chart of it. I mean, nobody loses here. So that's incredible. So
yeah, that is incredible. Incredible, incredibly generous of Nicola
kidding.
Too.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, yeah, because she doesn't know how many that's going to be.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Incredibly generous.
Yeah. So there you go, Vonna. There's yet another reason.
Well, I'm going to put my order in tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Sassy Jax has plenty of them. Just call Kim there; she'll get you one.
I'm going to call her.
Okay. Yep. You got the linen. Go. You know.
I got the linen.
Yep. Probably have all the floss.
I probably, yeah, that's a given. I have all the DMC. I won't be stitching silks. If I did, I won't be doing silk. Not because I don't like silk. It's just that I've got two more kids going to college next year. So
yeah, every time I see a picture of your kids, you get a big dose of my sympathy. Holy smokes.
Yeah. So it'd be in DMC if I'm doing it.
Yeah. But I will say to you, Vonna, there's a lot to be said for empty nesting. A lot to be said. As much as you love your kids, there's a lot to be said for empty nesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm certain there is. Yes. And there's going to be a lot to be said for having grandkids and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll be a good granny.
No doubt there. No doubt there. Yeah. Yeah. And the best part of that is, here, take your kids. Got to go home. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get to sleep all night. No problem.
Yeah, that too. Yep. Yep. All right. That's it for the midweek show Sunday. Caroline, I'm not going to get this name right. Caroline Hoffa, Haufe. I think I have that right. Haufe. Off a floss tuber, off the grid needle arts. She does. Well, she makes tote bags for a business. Cross stitch, needlepoint. As a musician, she's multi-talented, multi-dimensional, and we had a great conversation with her. So that's Sunday.
She's a nice, nice lady, Caroline.
Yes, really enjoyed her. So Ivana, thanks for filling in for Christine on Wednesday. This was fun.
It was fun.
All right. Caroline on Sunday, and Christine and I will be back next Wednesday. Thanks for listening.